All of us have people in our lives that we want to change. So parents, you want your kids to change. You want them to improve their behavior. All of us pray for certain people in our families. We wish they would overcome their problems. Husbands, you know, we priests, we know exactly how you're supposed to change. You know that, right? You know, how do we know? It's because your wives tell us all the time in confession. And sometimes we get frustrated. The people we love, we're trying to help them, and they don't change. The readings today give us two ways to help those we love to grow. And the first way is to love them with the heart of the good shepherd. Jesus says today, in reference to his sheep, no one will snatch them out of my hand. And then he talks about the Father giving us, we are a gift, giving us to Jesus as a gift. And he says, no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. So these two phrases, it refers to the sheep, the shepherd protecting the sheep. And you remember what a good shepherd does for the sheep, right? You all remember that? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. You see, we all love people, right? We want them to change. And we keep on telling them, you got to do this, you got to do that. But we haven't yet laid down our lives for them. We don't yet have the heart of the good shepherd. Now, what does it mean to offer our lives for other people so that they can grow? I just want to give you three quick ways. First of all, it means we're going to treat them differently. We're going to love them differently. So when we look at the people we want them to change, we're going to look at them now with more love, even when we're frustrated with them. And we're going to be patient with them all the time. We're going to forgive all the time. Now, it doesn't mean, of course, being a doormat. We've talked about that one before. And it means we're not going to respond anymore with unjust anger. We're going to be mad at the sins they do, for sure, because that is right. But we're never going to be mad at them. We're going to be mad at the sin. And we're going to be mad for the right reason and in the right way. So no more unjust anger, only just anger. Now, the second way to offer our lives for people is to offer up our days for them. So some of you know, if it's your birthday, if I know it's your birthday, I'm going to send you an email that says, a lot of you know this, I'm going to send you an email that says, I'm going to offer up today my prayers for you, all of my prayers for you, and then all of my sufferings and all of my sacrifices. Now, what does that look like? So I'm going to offer up my prayers that whole day all for you. And when I suffer, it's going to take a lot of love to put up with that suffering. So I'm going to offer that for you. So for example, when some of you fall asleep during my homily, I can see that. It's very annoying. So it takes a certain amount of patience. So I'm going to offer up that patience for you. Now let's say something even worse happens. I'm counting on someone to help me. They said they're going to help me, and then they don't follow through. That requires even more patience. I'm going to offer that patience to God for you. Let's say even worse. Let's say it's been a 14-hour day of ministry. I didn't sleep well the night before, and now someone wants help. And it's a legitimate need. That's going to take a lot of love for me. And that love that I'm going to do it with, I'm going to give it to the Father and say, Father, I'm going to offer up that love for you if it's your birthday. If it's not your birthday, I don't care about you. So that love, that really precious love, that's worth a lot to God. And it's going to help you. It's going to get you a lot of graces. Now, it's the same thing with sacrifices. There are 50 of us men here. Every first Wednesday of the month, we only eat bread and water. Some of you are with me in that. And we do it for our wives. Now, that takes a certain amount of love and sacrifice. We're doing it for them. But that's not that hard for me. You know what's harder for me? I open the fridge door, and I see something I like, mango pudding. Then I see something I don't like, Brussels sprouts. Go for the sprouts. And I do that for you. That takes a certain amount of love. So that's the second way to do it. The third way, there are some people like St. Monica who offer their whole lives for God, not just their days. They offer their whole lives for the people they love, like the Good Shepherd. So when her son, Augustine, he was a late teenager, he lived a wild life having sex outside of marriage. He fell away from his Catholic faith. He fell in love with a woman. They had a son when he was 18 years old. And when his father was dying, Augustine got mad at him because his father was unfaithful to his marriage vows. But it was through the prayers and sacrifices of his mother, Monica, that he came back home. And one bishop said to her, because she's offering up all these prayers and always crying for her son, and the bishop said to her, "Don't worry. It is impossible that a son of so many tears should be lost." You're offering so many sacrifices to God. You're offering your whole life for him. It's impossible that that son will be lost. So 15 years later, Augustine returns to the faith. He's finally baptized. He becomes a saint and becomes one of the most influential saints and thinkers ever. So today on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we have to pray for more vocations to sacred orders, priesthood, diaconate, also religious life. We have to pray for good shepherds who will lay down their lives for other people. So the first way to help the people we love to grow is to lay down our lives for them. The second way, and this comes from the first reading, it's going to be very different. It might even shock you. And it's based on the example of St. Paul and St. Barnabas. So what happens is that they go to Antioch. They start preaching in the synagogues, and when the people don't listen, they give up on them. So the second way to love people is to give up on them. I'll explain. It says, "When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and blaspheming, they contradicted what was spoken by Paul. Then both Paul and Barnabas spoke up boldly, saying, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken first to you, since you reject it and judge yourselves to be unworthy of eternal life, we are now turning to the Gentiles.' Thus the word of the Lord spread throughout the region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of the region. So they shook the dust off their feet in protest against them, and went to Iconium." So you see what's happening here? They go, they're sharing God's truth with them. They're doing it out of love. And then the people resent them. They start blaspheming. They stir up a persecution against them. And so Paul and Barnabas say, "We're out of here. We're leaving." And then they shake the dust off their feet. And you know, of course, that's what Jesus told us to do, right? Jesus said, "If any place will not receive you and they refuse to hear you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So that's an act of symbolic judgment, telling them, you've just judged yourselves. You've just rejected the truth. Okay, so here's the deal. If there's someone in our life that we're trying to help, and we're doing it out of love, which is good, if they reject the truth that we're trying to offer them, then sometimes we should leave them. And we can leave them. Why? And the why is important. It's in order to give them freedom to change their mind. Because see, sometimes what we do, and we subconsciously do it, is we love people, we want them to change, but we put pressure on them. And we keep on putting so much pressure on them that we take away their freedom to ask questions, their freedom to think about what we're saying, and then the freedom to freely accept it. So faith, for example, faith has to be freely chosen. You should never pressure anyone to believe. And so it means that we invite, we evangelize, we propose like a lover, but no pressure. We're always very aware of people's freedom. And of course, this doesn't mean that we give up on people completely. When St. Paul and St. Barnabas, when they say we're leaving in the very next chapel, where do they go? They go to the Jewish synagogue. So they haven't given up on the Jewish people completely. So of course, we give people freedom. We're going to stop bothering them. But it doesn't mean we've given up hope. Man, our hearts are still with them. We are still praying for them. And so if they ever come back, oh, we're so happy. Now, I can think of two exceptions to this. Number one, at work. Generally speaking, if at work there is an expectation, look, you've got to follow good policies, good procedures, there are reasons to do it. Now, if we're trying to help someone at work follow these good procedures, and we're not talking about immoral things at work. You never follow anything immoral. But if they're not following what's good, you can't wait forever for them to change their mind. Eventually, you've got to tell them, you've got to shape up, you've got to follow these good policies. You can't give them freedom forever. And number two, with our children. When our children are young and they're living at home, The reality is that they are not adults. And so we as good parents, we make good decisions for them. Jesus himself reiterated the fourth commandment is to love, honor your father and mother. So if we're kids, if we are living at our parents' home for free, then we owe them our obedience. And for life, we always owe them our respect.